How many people have your Bible today? Amen. That's beautiful. Look around. That is beautiful. Church full of people, church full of Bibles. You may be seated. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew, chapter 11. When you find your place, please say, I have it. Matthew, chapter 11. I want to talk today a little about coming to Jesus. We know that today you're not going to see a physically manifested Jesus walk out of the back doorway here. For some of the world, when they hear us talking about coming to Jesus, it's as if we're talking about Jesus himself. You see him come in his sandals and his robe, and here is the physical manifestation of Jesus. We don't see that physical Jesus here, right? The Bible tells us that Jesus came from heaven, was born in Bethlehem, lived a sinless life, went to the cross and was abused, was punished, was tormented, was spit on, was crucified until every drop of blood was out of him. Was buried, but didn't stay buried. He arose from the grave. And after he arose from the grave, he came back and walked on this earth. And then the Bible tells us that he ascended into heaven and he sits on the right hand of God the Father. So that physical Jesus is not here. But what he did tell us in the book of John 16, when he goes, he would send the Comforter. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the presence of Jesus that is everywhere, the presence of God that is everywhere. And if you accept and believe on Jesus, then that presence of God, that Jesus is within you. He'll speak to you on a daily basis. He'll convict you, tell you what not to do, and tell you what to do. He'll let you see things in a different way, comfort you when you're sad. He'll be able to console you when you're disappointed. He'll let you see what the praise is, and he'll carry you when you just can't find a way out. That Holy Spirit. Now, when you come to church today, you come into the presence of Jesus, not because you've come into my presence. I merely speak on his behalf. But understand, you realize if you come today and we open the Word of God, and God speaks to us through his Word, that you have come into the presence of God today. Do you realize that? You can come into the presence of God in your home, in your garage, in your car, but realizing that he told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, when we come to him and two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst. He makes that statement saying, I'm going to be there. He's going to be there if what is said represents what he would have said. That doesn't always happen. Do you realize that you could actually go to a church and not be in the presence of God? Sadly enough, you could, if what is said does not represent what he is saying. With all this being said, we know that we come to him in different ways. We can come to church, know we're going to be in his presence. We can come to him in prayer. We can come to him in praise. We can come to him individually. We can come to him together, collectively. But do you know that every person today that's listening to me, every person, whether you're here in the sanctuary or you're listening on the radio or maybe you've went on the website or maybe you just stuck the CD in. Every person that's listening today has or will have an opportunity to come to Jesus. Every person. And what makes us come to Jesus? Well, I've realized something. There is a broad range of things that cause someone to come to Jesus. It could be heartache, it could be misfortune, it could be dilemma. It could be the doctor's diagnosis. It could be that you've ran out of options and your plan didn't work right. It could be a job opportunity that didn't come through and now you're wondering. It could be your family provision. It could be the trouble you're in with your marriage. It could be something that happens with a child. A lot of different reasons cause us to come to Jesus, right? If you ever hear the testimony of people, you will hear them start a lot of times by saying, listen, I was going through this, and then all of a sudden, I realized something. That's what we call a come to Jesus moment. We use this in the wrong way when we say, well, I'm going to meet with those guys, and we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. Well, not unless Jesus is there, you're not going to have a come to Jesus meeting. People also come to Jesus because they're curious. Do you realize that if I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my life and I live a different kind of life, I live the way He says. So what He tells me to do, I've tried to do. And maybe something's happened where I had an opportunity or temptation to do something against Him and I chose not to, and somebody notices. Or maybe some heartache has happened in my life and somebody would say, well, listen, you should be falling apart and you should be doing this, but I have a peace that looks abnormal. It looks like, hey, what's going on with you? How can you still be praising the Lord? Something's wrong. People could come to Jesus because they see something in me or see something in you. They would come to Jesus curious. They want to say, what's going on? What do they have? So there's lots of different reasons that people come to Jesus. I've seen the spectrum this week. I've seen life come into the world. The baby was born. I've seen my dear sister slip out of the world, grab the hand of her Lord and Savior. I've seen a wedding yesterday where two people came together. I've ministered to marriages this week where one of the persons wants to separate. I've seen resolution of conflict, reconciliation this week. And I've seen dissension and conflict begin. Do you know that in every case, no matter what it is, those people have a reason to come to Jesus? Good things come out of all those things if they come to Jesus. But I need to make a statement to you this morning that before you judge me for this statement, before you try to analyze it, I want to give you the biblical proof. Because we've begun to accept a falsity in the church today. Not necessarily in this church, I hope not. But in the contemporary age that we live in, we have told people that everything will be settled if you just come to Jesus. I've been in worship services recently where all that was said was, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus. You say, well, of course, that's what we're supposed to say. But do you know that not everyone that comes to Jesus will experience a relationship with Him? And do you know that not everyone who comes to Jesus will receive His salvation? And do you know that not everyone that comes to Jesus will receive eternal life and eternity in heaven? You say, oh, well, you're gonna preach that you're more special, that you have... No, I preach the grace of God if I talk about me because I don't deserve it. But I want you to hold on a second because you must be curious. The reason is we've grown accustomed to telling people that they need to come to Jesus, and if they come, they'll experience a relationship and receive salvation and eternal life. I've sat recently and listened to this be proclaimed. Hey, the fact that you came today, you came and we're all here together and it feels so good, so let's sing this praise and let's sing this praise and we've all come together, so experience Him. You see, this message that we Christians are delivering today is an incomplete message. Jesus' message was different than this message. I want you to listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. I hope you're curious at this point. But I want you to see, in verse 27, Jesus makes this statement. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And basically what he is saying is you can't get to God or anything that God has unless you go through me. That's what Jesus is saying. I have everything the Father has, and you can't get to the Father unless you come through me. So that was his first statement. So if you're going to get what the Father has, you have to get it from who? From Jesus. That's simple, right? Now his invitation. Listen to the first word of the next verse, verse 28. What does he say? All right. First word. Say it with me.
Come.
Louder.
Come.
Again.
Come.
Come. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So here we have it. Jesus says, come unto me. He's calling anyone who has a burden in life. He's saying, I will give you rest. Have you ever had a burden in life? Then he has said, if you want to get what God has, and God has help for you, he has deliverance for you, he has grace for you, he has mercy for you, he has compassion for you, he has salvation for you, but if you want to get what he has, you have to come to me, you have to come to me, right? And you may say at this point, you see, you're disproving your own statement here. All we need to do is come to Jesus. Jesus just said it right here. He says, come to me. If you labor heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Isn't rest what we all want? Not rest, but peace. We want the problem solved. We want peace of mind. We want peace of heart. But do you realize that this is only the beginning of his statement? He says, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. But listen to verse 29 and 30, because he tells us in 29 and 30 that, listen, just to come is not enough. When you come, here's what you're going to have to do. So this goes against, because today's message has been stopping right here. Come, just come. But Jesus said, that's not going to work. If you want the rest, then listen to the next word in verse 29. What does he say? Say the first word with me.
Take.
Say it again.
Take.
What was the first word I asked you to say?
Come.
Real slow this morning. What was the first word I asked you to say?
Come.
Right. After you come, what does he say you have to do in verse 29?
Take.
Come and take. Do you realize just to teach that you come is incomplete? Because if you do not take, nothing changes with you. No different than the young lady that came. Until she took, nothing changed for her. But it's a harder message to preach. Someone might get offended. Someone with these little fragile feelings that we run around with today, where everybody's feelings are hurt or this is wrong, they might get hurt because we didn't say it in that kind of way. They might leave the church and not come back. We can't preach that. We have to just preach, come, come, and let's get together and let's everybody just sing praise. Can I tell you something? You can't even come to him and praise him unless first you take what he has to offer. You can't come to him in prayer unless you take what he has to offer. We can't just teach and preach come. We have to teach and preach come and take. But I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to take his word for it. You see, Jesus explains how you get the rest for your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You can't just come. You have to take. There's a difference between coming to Jesus because you have a need and coming and taking. Do you know who can come? Anyone. Anyone can come. But not all who come will take. Yes, we do need to teach people to come to Jesus, but we also need to teach. If you come, you have to take him into you. You have to take his teaching into you. Listen to the way he phrases it. Take my yoke upon you. Now, in this generation, not many people know what a yoke is. But a yoke is something that binds two people together. But not two people as much as two animals back in the day. If you were to put two mules together, two horses together, you probably haven't seen two ox plowing together. But you may have seen a wagon train where you have two mules or two horses pulling a carriage, right? And if you have, you've seen what's around them. They are yoked together. They are put together. You can't have a big Morgan horse and then have a small Shetland pony pulling that, or it's going to just look like this, right? They have to be equally yoked, and the Bible speaks about being equally yoked together in belief, right? So yoked together, just to be able to give you that, that's what you would have as a device to come to you, to be a part of somebody. So for me to explain this, to be yoked together means to join together with me. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Come join with me. Not just come, but come and join with me. Anyone can come, but he's saying, take my yoke upon you. What else is he saying? Take me by belief. Take me as part of you. He says, learn of me. What does learn of me mean? Listen to what I tell you and show you. You can't just come. You have to take him into you. Let him join you. You join him. And then after that, learn of me. Do you know that when you spend time with someone, you learn them, don't you? Learn of me means feel my companionship. Talk to me. Read about me. A lot of us wonder, as Christians, you know, I just don't feel as close to God as I used to feel. Are you still trying to learn of him? Are you spending the time with him? Did you really take him? And are you yoked together with him in belief? Are you learning of him? This is Jesus' words. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. And then he says, if you not only come, but you also take, then you will find rest for your souls. A guaranteed recipe. You will find rest. Promise of Jesus right there. Not Pastor Mike. Promise of Jesus. I think about Mark chapter 8, verse 34, when he had called the people unto him and his disciples also. The verse says, he said unto them, listen to this, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So the first thing that I want to talk to you about is not just coming to God, because Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. You can't come into this place today and come into the presence of God and hear his word that tells you if you're lost that you need to be saved. You can't come in here, just come and get it. You have to come and by belief follow that belief. That means you have to take it inside of you and say, I want to follow you. That's why we call him Lord and Savior. I want to take it and follow you. So you have to come and follow. Not just come, but come and follow. For the mindset today that says, hey, you can come to Jesus and you can still keep doing whatever you want to do. Listen, Jesus says, when you come to me, I require you, you come and follow me. You say, you've never failed at that? Of course I failed about it. If you've been here, you've heard me preach about my failures. But I'm supposed to get back up and follow. You can't just come and take a little. Or take the part that you want. You realize you have to take it all and follow him. He says, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Three important things here. Deny himself, unselfishly. You can't just come. And today, a lot of us come and say, hey, Jesus, we're coming to you. We want to take this part and this part. But this other part, we enjoy doing that, so we don't believe in that. We want to take this part and this part, but we're not going to take this other part. Oh, we'll take the singing part, but we don't want the preaching part. We'll take the preaching part, but not the singing part. We'll take the missionary and the mission part, but we don't want to take the faithfulness part. Everything that he said that we're supposed to do, that is what Jesus, that's when you come to Jesus. Jesus' words in here tells us what to do. He says, come and take it, especially if it's inconvenient for you. That's what he calls taking up the cross, denying yourself. But you don't understand. This is what I like to do instead of coming to church. Okay, then you must understand that is not called denying yourself. Do you realize when you follow him, you will find rest for your soul? If you refuse to follow him and you keep doing what you want to do, no matter how good you think it's going to work out, you will not find rest for your soul. Not my words, Jesus' words. That's why I stand up here and plead for your faithfulness. Because I know in my life, when I wanted to take this part and take this part, you know, you can say whatever you want to say. God knows why you're not faithful to him. He knows why you're not praying. He knows why you're not worshiping. He knows why you fit him in and take this part and don't take this part. It's not up to me. It's between you and him. But understand, if you're looking to have rest for your soul, which ultimately we all are, you're not going to find it unless you deny yourself and take it all. And we don't want to take it all. You say, what do you mean? You don't want to take it all? No, I don't want to. My flesh doesn't. The Bible tells me that when somebody says something to me, that I'm supposed to pray for them instead of returning anger or vengeance. I don't want to do that. I have visions. You ever have those visions? Where you just have to shake them off? And you think, man, like I've had visions before, like, okay, I'm going to turn this thing over and I'm going to throw it against that wall and I'm going to do this. And it was all happening right in here. You say, you've got problems. You do too. Hey, I've met with you. You do too. No, in the flesh, what our flesh wants to do, we have to deny that to follow him. It means that I need to pray for somebody. Read Romans 12 sometimes. You know what it says? It says I need to pray for somebody that's assaulting me. I need to be able to give it to God because vengeance is his. It tells me I need to forgive somebody even when they've wronged me. And I don't want to do that. But I have to deny myself and follow him. I can't just come to Jesus and say, I'm good. I have to come to him and say, I know this is not what you want me to do. I want to deny what I really want to do. To follow you, so I have to come and follow. In Luke chapter 14, verse 27, the Bible says, in words of Jesus, excuse me, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So can I tell you the next thing I want you to know? You can't just come to him. You have to come after him. You know what come after him means? Not just to follow him, to keep following him. Right? Blake, you're going to help me with this example? All right. I'm right here. I want you to come after me. Come after me. Yeah. Come after me. Yeah. Did he come after me to begin with? Right. But what did he continue to do? Exactly. Thank you. That was scared. I was scared. See that look in his eye? You ever seen? I hope you've never seen that look in his eye. Right? Understand what he's saying. To be my disciple, you can't just come to me. You have to come after me. Understand the word here, the translation. That means to keep coming to him.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
This is not preached. We preach, come to him. hey, raise your hand, we'll write your name down, that's great. No, it's not about coming to him. It's about coming to him and then continuing to come after him, to follow what he says, to follow what he says. Anybody can hit that time in life to where your bottom has fallen out of your life and you come to Jesus. And even as a Christian, you take his salvation, but then he requires you to keep coming after him. That means when we open the Bible and we read something that says you're not supposed to do this, and God says don't do this, and God says go do this, that you still come after him by doing what he says do. If we come to him just to take his salvation, then we'll live in disobedience and we will not be his disciple because we're not coming after him. Does that make sense? In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, this last book in the Bible, one of the last paragraphs in the Bible, the final words say, come and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, listen to this, let him take of the water of life freely. It is not about just the message of coming. The message that Jesus taught was not just to come. It was to come and what? Take. He said, yes, whosoever will, let him come. Let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever will can come, but they have to take. He made the statement in John 7, 37. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. A simple example. Are you thirsty? Then you would go to Jesus. But if he has the water you need to quench your thirst and you don't drink, will you still be thirsty? So how in our minds have we adopted this new concept that just says, let's just come together and experience the fullness of God in this room without the message that anybody has to take something? We have to actually take what he says. First thing we have to take is salvation. And then after that, we would have to take obedience unto sanctification. You see, we can't just come thirsty or we'll leave thirsty. We have to drink when we come. We have to take him into us. He's the water of life. The Bible says he's the living water. So that's the reference he was making. You can't just come to the water. And I know our song sounds good. You know, come to this and come to that. You can't just come. You have to take. In order for someone today to truly get saved, do you realize they have to take Jesus into them? All right, let me share the gospel with you, can I? Amen. Thank you. Everybody should want to hear the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what saves you, right? Here's the gospel. Jesus Christ, who the Bible says in John 1, is the Word. That Word was with God. It was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. That light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't cover it up. That light came into the world from heaven in the form of a baby, baby Jesus. He was born, Son of God and Son of Man. He was all man, he was all God. So in the fact that he was all man, he had the propensity to sin. He had it within himself to where he could have sinned. He was tempted. The Bible said he was tempted on every way, but he didn't fail that temptation. He didn't give in to it. He was tempted. That made him the only sinless man. And because he was the only sinless man, and because I am a sinner and you are a sinner, and the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, there has to be a sacrifice made for our sins because God has no sin and we have sin. So my only way to get to God is to use the sacrifice that Jesus made as the sinless Lamb of God. And the only way that I can get it is to come to him and take it into me, receive it. What do you mean? Well, the Bible says if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. Jesus says, marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. It has to happen. There must be a time when you take it. Amen. That means you take it by belief. You take it by faith and you say, you cry out to God and you say, yes, I believe. I am a sinner. I come to you and I confess to you that I'm a sinner, but I want the sacrifice. Give me the sacrifice. I want to take it to use it to cleanse my sins. So when someone gets saved, that's what happens. You don't just come You take it. Now, the same is true for believers. We can't just come and take the salvation that Jesus offered us and then just come to Him when it's convenient for us. If we want to stay in fellowship with God, if we want to be able to pray to God, if we want to have the blessings of God on our lives, if we want to have that peace that comes, that rest, then we need to keep coming and taking what He said to us. Not just hear it, but take it and live it. That's where we all come in. Can I tell you the years that I walked into church and just heard but didn't listen? I can tell you that when my parents, and they said this a lot, you better listen to me. Anybody ever tell you that? I never heard, you better hear me. They knew I could hear them. They wanted me to listen. That means a step of obedience. What we have to do is not just come to God. We have to listen and take and obey what He says. If you want that blessing, if you want that peace. But see, we quit preaching that when we preach, just come. That thing that we think it's okay to do because, hey, the rest of the world's doing or society accepts it. I know it goes against the Bible, but you don't understand. You're just in the dark ages, Pastor Mike. No, I'm still in the church age is what I'm in, where God still says everything that I said in this Bible is true, and I'm an unchanging God. I don't change day to day. It means that it's still true. It doesn't mean that I can go to college, and college students that are here, we love you, but it don't mean that you can go to college and be enlightened, so it's okay for you to go up there and say I'm exploring and finding myself, so I'll start drinking, I'll start smoking pot, I'll start sleeping with anybody that I want to, I'll start accepting that God isn't God, and that I need to stand for all these things that go against, and any God is okay to worship, and I'm going to be diverse, and I'm going to tolerate anything. No, if you're a child of God, you stand for God and you stand on what God says. If you took His salvation, take His instructions and stand on it. You know why? Because someone else needs to come to Him by seeing your life. They won't see Jesus. How can they come to Jesus? You realize physically manifested Jesus is not going to tiptoe out of this back room. The way somebody's going to see Jesus is they're going to come in the break room next week and see Him in you. They're going to come at the store next week and see Him in you. Your child is going to see Him. Your husband, your wife is going to see Him in you. That's why He calls us the body of Christ. We are the living, breathing, walking, talking body of Christ. We can't just come. If I knew my children came to me only when they wanted something, would they still be my children? Of course. But I knew they didn't want to take the instruction. They didn't want to invest in the relationship. They didn't want to take that love. They just wanted to take what I had in their time of need. They'd still be my children. But I would think differently about them. And I realize it's no different with me and Father God. I think about the times I come and took what I wanted and then went back. You see, you take the salvation that God offered you to save you from hell. Praise God, I'm not going to hell. But if you take that part and you don't want to take the rest of it, something's wrong. And something's wrong. You take the salvation, that's taking them into salvation. The rest of the rules in the Bible that tell us what we should do, that tell us how to love, that tell us how to give, that tell us how to worship, that tell us how to be faithful, that tell us how to live sexually pure, that tell us how to be kind and patient. You heard the children this morning sing about the fruits of the Spirit. The rest of it in there is sanctification. We take Him for salvation. If you take Him for salvation, He's got to be wondering, why are you not taking me for sanctification? James chapter 1, verse 22, James says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Listen, deceiving your own selves. Don't forget that's in there. Do you know that we deceive ourselves when we think, okay, yeah, I'm a Christian. I know I'm not living like I need to right now, but I'm fine. You don't understand. I'm just going through this. This is what's going on. And so I'm in this little place right now. And Mr. and Mrs., you're deceiving yourself. Not my words, James' words. Why? Well, you've been a hearer of the word, but you're not doing. Doing's when you take it into you. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and there's a product that comes out of that. I think Jesus said it best in Matthew 26. I need to give you this. Maybe this will sound familiar to you. You see, Jesus repeatedly told us how we have to take what he has, not just come and see it, not just hear it, but take it. Consider what Jesus said as he had communion with his disciples. We call it the Last Supper, right? We're told to do this also. Listen to Jesus' instruction, Matthew 26, 26. See if it sounds familiar to you. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples. Listen to what he said. Take, eat, this is my body. Do you think he wanted them just to come? No. Did he call them just to come? No. He said what? Take it. Even symbolically, knowing this is an ordinance of God, he says, do this in remembrance of me. What do we do even observing the Lord's Supper? We take the body of Christ, which was broken for us, and we actually take it. You have to reach and take it, and then you have to take it. You say, well, what do you mean, take it? Well, you don't have any problem understanding when somebody says, hey, you need to take 2 Tylenol, right? What have you done? You've put it inside of you. Well, what about when you're taking that communion? You're taking it. What about when you're taking the words that God said today? Listen, there were some people that will come today, and when you leave and I tell you thank you for coming today, what I want to be able to say is thank you for coming and taking. But some people will come today just to come. It's not enough just to come. Come and take. Take, eat, this is my body. Let me give you 2 examples in closing that we find in God's word where someone came to Jesus, but their outcome was different because one of them didn't take from him. I want to make this pretty quick. Just 2 stories, and you can read them as you leave here. This will give you something to study on this week. But the first one is Matthew chapter 19. There's a story, and some of you may know it. It's the story of the rich young man. This guy came to Jesus. Pretty good guy. A lot better than I'd lived. I mean, he had observed all these different commandments, and he came to Jesus. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus told him what he needed to do, like take these instructions. So listen to the story. Verse 16, and behold, one came unto him and said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now listen to this. And behold, one came and said unto him. What did this guy do? Came. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? This is Jesus. There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou art enter into life, keep the commandments. He's saying, don't just come. Take what I'm telling you. He said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up, yet what lack I yet? And Jesus said unto him, if thou will be perfect, that means if you want to do everything completely, that means if you want to follow after me, go and sell that you have and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And listen, and then come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, let me ask you a question. Did he come to Jesus? Did Jesus acknowledge him? Did he tell him what he needed to do to keep coming? Did he do it? Then he didn't take. There's an example. He came. Did he take? He left sorrowful. You know where he's at today? He's in hell. He's in hell. And let's say that this man was a Christian, just putting it out there. Not getting into the doctrine. I'm just saying, let's put him in that position. Then he came to Jesus, and Jesus laid something on his heart. This is what you need to do. You need to be more faithful in church. You need to sing in the choir. You need to teach. You need to start a Bible study in your home. You need to witness to this person at home. You need to be able to share this with your, it could be whatever. He laid something on your heart. He says, hey, this one thing do. But you didn't want to do it. You didn't want to deny yourself. You didn't want to come to him and do it. You were fine to come, but when you heard, like today, you came to church today, right? So you're here, you came. That's great. Because it's hard to take if you don't come. But you came. But you hear something today that you disagree with, and you say, I don't know that I can do this. Guess what? You will leave here not taking. You just came. You know what coming will do? Nothing. Except increase your judgment. Well, what do you mean? Well, in that same way, if my child comes to me and says, hey, I don't want to do that, and I continue to tell them, and they continue to hear it, but they refuse to do it, well, it's a lot different judgment than if they never knew not to do it. You've heard. You come. And if you're saved, the Holy Spirit keeps telling you. But you have to do. You have to be a doer, right? The next story is found in Luke chapter 19. You know this story. It's the story of Zacchaeus. How many know this story? Zacchaeus. The Bible says Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, Luke 19. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not for the press because he was little of stature, and he ran before and he climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said unto Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, make haste, hold on, underline these words, and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Listen. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Here's another example. Here's a man that wanted to see Jesus. Jesus knew where he was going to be, but he came. He made effort. He came. Why? Because Zacchaeus' life was falling apart? No, Zacchaeus was curious. So he came to see Jesus. He climbed up in this tree so that he could see over. He had a game plan. Jesus, that day, had come to see him. Jesus stops at the tree, and he knew exactly what tree. And he says, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down. And Zacchaeus came down. He said, I must go to your house today. He went to his house. Now, here's the difference in the story. If you read the rest of the story, Zacchaeus came out of that house a changed man. Even though, this is another sermon, I don't want to point this out, even though all those religious people were complaining while he was in there, all the church people were saying, that Zacchaeus, he went in there, and that Jesus, and he went in there, and that shouldn't be this way, and this shouldn't be this way. All the time, Jesus was ministering to Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus came out of that place a changed man. You know what Zacchaeus came out and said? Listen, this is the tax collector who had ripped everybody off. He stood and he said, unto the Lord, not to the people, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. You know why salvation came? He didn't just come, he took what Jesus had to offer that day. And the fruits of that was that he was a changed man. Amen. Let me ask you, truly, have you ever come to Jesus? Has there been a time when you came to Jesus? I mean, really came. Meaning that you came and took. I'm not talking about you came because your life fell apart and all of a sudden it was terrible, so you came. And somebody told you what to pray or somebody led you through something. I'm talking about you really came and took it. I'm convinced the reason there are so many Christians walking around today out of the will of God is because, yes, we've been telling them to come, but you actually have to take it when you come. Put it in you. Put it in you by belief. You don't do this by joining the church. You don't do it by growing up in the right family. It is a personal thing that happens between you and God when you meet with Jesus. It is a come to Jesus meeting, and everybody will have one. And when he says, come to me and take it, he's laying down the law of salvation. You either take it or you don't take it. A lot of people come, but not everybody takes. That is why we have that verse in Matthew that Jesus reminds us, chapter 7. There'll be many in that day that say, Lord, Lord. And I'll have to tell them, I never knew you. Never knew you. We've done this and we've done this. Listen, we want to argue. I'll guarantee you in that day, there'll be protesters. I know that on this day I came because we came and they told us this, and I've been coming in and singing this forever, and I'm protesting. And the Bible tells me in the 20th chapter of Revelation that Jesus says, hey, let me just look in my book. And he opens the Lamb's Book of Life. And everyone that was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they were cast into the lake of fire. Every single one. Why? Because they just came. They didn't take. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I want you to know that you 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 came and took. If you didn't, please, please, please come. And let's pray today during this invitation and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of God, that you're taking his salvation. I'll lead you through that prayer. Pastor Blake will be here. If there's many that come, please don't leave here today without knowing that you didn't just come. You came and you took. And Christian, if you've came and you took, and then your coming has not been as regular, maybe you did come, but you haven't been taking everything that he said that comes along with it. If you haven't denied yourself and took up your cross, followed him, followed after him, like we've talked about today, if you find yourself in this position, guess what you need to do? Come and take the opportunity today of repentance. And guess what he'll give you? A gift of grace and mercy. He'll restore you. He'll open his arms, just like he told the prodigal in the book of Luke 16. You know what he said? He says, when the father saw him coming afar off, he went out to meet him. He opened his arm. That's a gracious God that says, hey, Mike, hey, listen, I know that you went astray, but if you come back to me and you want to take my rules and move back in this house, I'll take you back with open arms. I'll kill the fatted calf. The angels in heaven will be rejoicing. I'll put a ring on your finger and restore you. That's a gracious God that does that, and you can rededicate your life to him today, too. You say, well, I'm good. I came to him, I took him, and I'm living in that peace right now. Then please, please come and offer up your prayer to God that everyone else can find that peace. You got a direct line with him. We need your prayers right now. Stand with me. Father God, I love you, I praise you, and I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the victory that we have in you. I thank you, Lord, for giving us the truth of your word today. I thank you for the opportunity to come. But I pray, God, that each person here today does more than come, that they take. They take out of here what you've said today. They take out of here your word today. And I pray if there's anyone here, anyone that's listening, they would come to salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen.